Well, praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to have your way here today. I ask you, Father, to just pour yourself through me as I share the little word I think you've given me today. Help us to realize that this thing's all about your love. And Father, that, you know, I spoke to you, I spoke to the people last week about a love story. And we're going to continue on a little bit with that. We're going to talk about love today. And Father, I just ask you in Jesus' name to just help us to realize that we're to be an expression of your love as we go forth. And you know, we love you because you first loved us. And Father, I just thank you for what you're going to do. I give you all praise. I give you all glory. And I give you all honor. In the name above all names, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. God's good. And Don, I was praying and asking the Lord for you to come today. And I'm glad that you came. And, you know, we're just going to keep trusting God that you're going to keep getting better and better and better. Okay? And I want you to start believing you're going to get better and better and better. And it doesn't mean that you won't be tried in it. Because a lot of times you are tried. You know, I've shared this testimony in years past, but I've shared how that, you know, when I was a kid, I had the epilepsy, and I don't like to hammer on that too much, but, you know, my mother was in praying one time, and she said, "Son, if I know the voice of the Lord, he's healing you." Not that I was healed, but he's healing you, like it was a process. And I kind of understood that when she said that, which I was only 12 years old when she told me that, you know. And, you know, I know that for a long time, I felt like I was going to have seizures after that. And, you know, I had had EEG tests and I did have epilepsy, you know. But I quit taking my medication when I felt like God told me to quit taking it. I just felt like I couldn't take it anymore. And I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just telling you, you just trust in God, and whatever the Lord tells you to do, you do it. But, you know, after about a year of not taking the medication and dumping pills down the toilet and everything, Mother came to me one time, and she says, "Are you taking your medicine? Because I forgot to get rid of some of it." And I says, "No." And she says, "Well, how long has it been since you've been taking?" And I said, "About a year." And she says, "We better get you back to the doctor." Even though God had spoken to her and told her what he told her, she still had that mother's love and fear to a certain extent of, "Well, we better get you back to the doctor." And I went back to the doctor, and they told him, he put me in the hospital, and he did an EEG test, and it showed normal. But I still felt like I was going to have seizures. And Mother had given me some scriptures. And one of them was 2 Timothy verse 7, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind." And I would quote that scripture over and over and over. And I had not committed my life to the Lord at that point. I was still 12 years old, you know. But yet I would still, every time I felt like I was going to have a seizure, I would quote that scripture over and over. And I also would say, "Devil, you're a liar. I don't receive this." And I would say that too, and the feeling would go away. And I had to get EEG tests numerous times, because even when I was 16 and wanted to get my license, they would not give me my license for more than 6 months at a time. And I'd have to go back to the doctor and get checked and have tests and different things, because I had had those seizures, you know. And every time I would go to have one of those tests, it would feel like I was going to have a seizure. Every time. And I would basically quote those scriptures and tell the devil he was a liar, and I never did have a seizure. And I've shared this before, but I felt like I should share it again just for your sake. Other people here have heard this a lot of times. But you know, after I got saved, I came in to an elders' meeting, a men's prayer meeting on a Tuesday night. We used to have them every Tuesday night. Came into a men's prayer meeting. A brother came over to me and said to me prophetically, he said, do you have epilepsy? And I hadn't told him I'd had epilepsy. And I said, no. He said, did you have it? I said, yeah. He said, do you have a fear of it? I said, yeah. He said, God wants you to confess that that fear is gone. The next night was a Wednesday night. And having had seizures in public, I was not one to get up in front of people. I didn't like large crowds. I didn't like to even eat in restaurants because I had had seizures in public before. And anyway, that Wednesday night, Brother Eddie says, has anybody got a testimony? Well, it was hard for me to get up, but I made myself get up, and I said, yeah, I do. I said, I want to thank God for taking the fear of epilepsy away from me. All of the time that I stood up, I felt like I was going to have a seizure. And when I spoke those words, the fear was gone. Perfect love casts out all fear. And, you know, when we realize that Jesus is that perfect love, he is the healer. He is the one we have to look to. He is our health, if we really will realize it. And, you know, I had to confess that myself, though, with my mouth about that fear, even though I still had that fear. And, you know, I didn't like to go to the dentist when I was a kid. I still am not crazy about going to the dentist. Although I went to the dentist the other day and they numbed my mouth, and that's the first time that I ever had that happen where I didn't get a tiny little knot in my stomach, because that's what it feels like when you're having a seizure. Your face starts getting numb and everything, you know. And, you know, but you know what? God is good. And he honors his word above his name. And I want you to know that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart his healing, you can receive it. And I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you if you don't receive it, but I'm just telling you, you can receive it, you know. And, you know, like I say, that the Lord spoke that to my mother. He never spoke it to me. And when she came out and told me that, you know, I'm saying, well, you know, I'm 12 years old. I'm saying, well, you know, whatever, you know. But let me tell you what. She'd always tell me, God's going to require something of you, things of you someday, son. Don't get too entangled with the world. I got pretty entangled with the world. But I also had to come down to a place of just feeling like I didn't care if I lived or died, you know, before I really gave my life to the Lord. And I didn't give my life to the Lord till I was 21 years old. A lot of years later. And I had some visitations of God in those times. But I'm going to tell you what. He is your health. He is your wholeness. He is your healing. He's all of those things. And begin to confess that and to thank him for that. Praise God. Okay. I'm going to talk to you today about love. I talked to you last week about a love story. And, you know, out of the Song of Solomon. And, you know, we're involved in a big love story. And the love story is that he loves us. And he loved us before we loved him. And, you know, in thinking about that, I ran across these little things here, and I'm going to read them to you. And let me walk over and get my water. Oh, here it is. I got it. This is some kids. They were interviewed. And they were asked some questions. And I want you to listen to what these kids said. And before I get into that, I'm going to pray. Father, have your way. In Jesus' name, I just ask you, pour yourself through me today. I can say nothing that will help anybody, but a few words from your mouth can change lives. They can reach right out and touch people through the airwaves, through the internet. We know these messages go on the internet. And Father, somebody out there needs to hear this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Anyway, Arnold, age 10, was asked, how do people in love typically behave? And this is a 10-year-old. He said, mushy, like puppy dogs, Except puppy dogs don't wag their tails so much. And then Wendy, age 8, when a person gets kissed for the first time, they fall down and don't get up for at least an hour, she said. That's a kid for you. Oh, praise the Lord. And then they were asked the question, why do people in love hold hands? And this was Gavin, age 8. He said, they want to make sure that their rings don't fall off because they paid a good lot of money for them. I love kids. I love the things that they say. They tickle me. And the next one was from Jill, age 6. They are practicing for when they might have to walk down the aisle someday and do the holy matrimony thing. And they were asked their opinions about love, their confidential opinions about love. And this 6-year-old said, love is foolish, but I still might try it sometime. And then Dave was 8 years old. He said, love will find you, even if you're trying to hide from it. I've been trying to hide from it since I was 5, but the girls keep finding me. Have you ever noticed that? It's the little girls that go after the little boys. They have that love springing up in their heart before the boys. The boys are, they don't know if they want anything to do with girls when they're real little. It make me laugh. And then Dell, age 6, says, tell them that you own a bunch of candy stores. That's a definite way to get them. Tell them you got a bunch of chocolate. Ladies like chocolate a lot. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Alzano, age 9, said, don't do things like have smelly green sneakers. They might get attention, but the attention ain't the same thing as love. I tell you what, sometimes when kids are starting to mature, they have the stinkiest feet you ever seen in your life. Praise the Lord. But anyway, I'm going to get into the Word now. I just thought those were funny and they were cute. And little kids, they say the cutest stuff. I used to love when Art Linkletter used to do that with kids. That was just hilarious, you know. And the name of my message today is just called Love. In Proverbs 10, 11, and 12, it says, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked concedes violence. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. Proverbs 10, 11, and 12, also in the Message Bible, same scripture, the mouth of a good person is a deep, life-giving well, but the mouth of wicked is a dark cavern of abuse. Hatred starts fights, but love pulls a quilt up over the bickering. I like that. You know, the reason I'm talking about this a little bit today is because right now, if you turn on the television, you hear more hatred, more bad things talking about each other. And I'm talking about the politicians a lot of times. And if we're not careful, we find ourselves fall right into those same categories because they suck you in. And you know what? We don't need to be sucked in. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Micah 6:8 says, he has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doeth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. I love that scripture. That's a great scripture. That's all God really requires of you. You know, Matthew 5:43-48. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. And this is Jesus talking. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain upon the just and the unjust. For if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? And you know what the word publican means? Tax collector. Tax collector. We got a lot of people out there wanting to get into being a tax collector. And Tuesday, you'll have a chance to help some of them become a tax collector, because that's what they all do. They want to get your money. They want to get in your pocket. Praise God. So be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and also love one another. By this shall men know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. They're not going to know that you're his disciple if you do a lot of rhetoric or you do a lot of hateful things. That they're going to know you're a disciple if you love them and you show them the love of God. And I tell you what, we need to do that. Praise God. You know, I happened to be listening to The View the other day, and you know, I like that show because they bicker back and forth a little bit, and they're kind of funny listening to them. But they talk a lot of political stuff on there, which I'm not crazy about that. But Meghan McCain came on, and I'm telling you, when she did her eulogy for her father, it was just terrific. You know, I watched it that day, and but she came on, and she said she wanted to apologize. And here's what she said. She said, I have said different times that I hate Hillary Clinton. And I'm not trying to be political, but I'm just telling you that God obviously was moving upon her. Because she said, I hate Hillary Clinton. I've said that many times. And I want to apologize for that, because I should hate no one. She says, we have different political views. She says, we don't agree on a lot of things. She says, but I'm not supposed to hate her. And you know what? That's true. And I'm going to tell you, some of the rhetoric you're hearing out there, they're trying to infuse hate from both sides politically. Don't get caught up in that stuff. Don't get caught up in that. Let the Lord pray for whoever God puts in there. Vote for the people you want to vote for. It doesn't make any difference whoever you vote for. Vote for whoever you feel like you should. But pray for whoever's in office, because God's allowed them to be there right now. Whatever purposes he has, whatever plans he has. You know, Ephesians 3, well, Jesus said in John 15:11-12, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. If I didn't say anything else to you today, that's the word of the Lord. Ephesians 3:16-21. That he would grant unto you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. Not in bickering, not in hateful things, not in bad stuff, in love. You know, when you love someone, you overlook their faults. When you love someone, you want only the best for them, no matter what situation they're in. You know, Jesus, no greater love than this hath a man that he laid down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for all, the whole world. The whole world. That includes everybody in it. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And you know, that's only going to happen as we begin to become an expression of his love. That's what it's going to take. You know, and what we need to do is say, Lord, help us comprehend these things. Begin to change us from the inside out, that we can be an expression of your love in everything that we do and say. And that's not an easy thing. I mean, that's a hard thing. In the natural, you can't do it. But spiritually, you can. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and it has to be from the power working in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And you know, last week I brought the scripture out about the Song of Solomon. And it says, in Solomon 2:4, it says, Song of Solomon 2:4, he brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. And you know, when people look at you, what is the banner that's hanging over your head? Is it love, or is it something else? I mean, his banner over us is love, and we need to be an expression of his love. And I looked up that word banner, and I told you it had the word banner had the meaning of effervescent, and it meant wine. And you know, if you go to a wedding, usually they'll have a toast, and usually what you toast with is champagne. Because champagne, when you take a little drink of it, it bubbles up. And you feel the bubbles hit your nose and different things. And it's effervescent. That means that the essence of what's inside of it can't be contained. It has to come out. And you know, when he brings you into his banqueting house, he wants what's inside of you to come out. And he wants it to be him. He wants you to be bubbling up with the joy of the Lord. He wants you to be bubbling up with his goodness, his mercy, his forgiveness, you know. And it also means to show exhilaration. You know, when somebody says, boy, they're really exhilarated. That means, boy, they're animated. They're really moving, you know. To show exhilaration of lively spirits, irrepressible, excitement or emotion, intoxication. And I told you last week, I said, you know, I won't tell you I'm proud of this, but I've been intoxicated when I was younger. And I know what happens to you when you're intoxicated. You do and say things that you normally wouldn't do and say. Do you know that? You lose all your inhibitions. And when we get intoxicated with God, we need to do and say things that we normally wouldn't say, but that he would say. Let's get intoxicated with him. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And 1 Corinthians 13:3-7, and this gets read at almost every wedding you go to anymore, and this is out of the New Living Translation. It says, I have given you everything that I have. If I have given everything that I have to the poor, and even sacrifice my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Wow. And then it goes on and says, love is patient, kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice when injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Boy, that's about the best definition of love you could ever have. God, let us aspire to that. Let your love just well up in our hearts that we can be that expression to creation out there, to everybody we come in contact with. In John 3:16-17, and this scripture is probably read more than any scripture out there, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Do we condemn the world? Let's quit condemning them. Romans 8 chapter says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Let's quit condemning them, folks. Let's start loving them. Let's start praying for them. Let's start expecting the best out of them. We don't always get to see the best, but let's expect it. I told you what hope means. It means to anticipate, usually with pleasure. Scripture says we're saved by hope. It says hope is the anchor of our soul. Let's start extending that hope to everyone we come in contact with. Let's ask the Lord to help us do that. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And you know who they're going to, who's going to help save them? There's a portion in Scripture that says saviors, not savior, saviors, shall come out of Mount Zion. And you know who that is? That's you. That's you. You're some of the saviors, because sometimes the only Jesus they're going to see is you. And unless we begin to grow up into a mature place in Christ and begin to start showing the love and the mercy and the forgiveness of God to the people we come in contact with, you know what? They're not going to see Jesus. You know, Jesus in the natural knew that his ministry on the earth as a natural man, but he was a spiritual man also, it was about to end, because the Greeks came saying, we would see Jesus. In other words, it had been broadcast across the world, the known world at that time, that he was there. And buddy, they wanted to see him. And what did Jesus reply? He says, the hour has come, and now is when the Son of Man must be glorified. And part of that Son of Man to be glorified is you, because you're the sons and daughters of God. And the world out there is still saying that today, we would see Jesus. And I'm going to ask you a question. What do we show them? You can say ouch if you want to. I have to say ouch once in a while. Somebody says that to me. What do you show them? Sometimes it's not Jesus. But you know, I aspire to show them Jesus every day. I want to show them Jesus every day. I want to show them the love of God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. In John 3:16-17, I'm going to read it to you again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For he sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, I'm going to read you something that's it's a theme of love. It's called A Theme of Love. And it said that the old apostle John insisted on being with his congregation in Ephesus for every meeting. When he was too old to walk, the people would carry him, and he always insisted on addressing the assembly before dispersing. The assembly loved his sermons more than bread. What was his message? It was quite simple. Little children, love one another. Wow. The first time the weakened old man could say no more, the audience was powerfully moved, and his one-sentence message remained the same. Later, the congregation began to consider his words. Finally, someone asked him, "But Master, why do you always say the same thing?" John replied, "Because it is the Lord's commandment. Because this alone, if you follow it, is sufficient and adequate." And I'm going to tell you what. If we'll love one another and love the people we come in contact with, it's sufficient and adequate. You will be fulfilling all of God's spiritual laws just in doing that. And if you want me to break the gospel down to you simply, that's the simpleness of the gospel right there. You know, Jimmy Carter one time, and a lot of people don't like Jimmy Carter, but Jimmy Carter does a lot of good stuff. He's 90-something years old. He's still building houses for people that don't have houses. I mean, politically it doesn't make a difference whether you like him or not. He's out at 90-something years old building houses for people that don't have houses, and they give them away, that Habitat for Humanity. And he admired this one Spanish evangelist, and he asked him one time, he says, "Can you tell me the secret of your ministry?" And he said, "Yes, I love the person that's in front of me." That simple. That simple. Praise God. You know, I'm going to share a little bit of, sometimes I use this in weddings and sometimes I don't. But this says here, God is the author of love. The Bible teaches us that God is love and that love comes from God. From beginning to end, the Bible is a love story. There we read of God's love for his people, of love that sent Jesus to the cross, of redeeming love for sinners, and abiding love for the redeemed. And you know, that's exactly what we read in the Bible. That's what it's really all about. Praise God. A couple more scriptures and then I'll close. John 13:35. And I'm going to tell you what. You can tell somebody that you're a Christian until you're purple in the face. I'm going to tell you. But until this happens, they're not going to believe you. "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Wow. John 17:11. "And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep them through thy own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one." John 17:20-23. Neither pray I for these alone, but for those also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given it to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved me, and thou hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. John 17:26. "And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them." It's in you. Just begin to confess that it's in you. Begin to express that it's in you. I'm going to read it again. "I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." John 3:16 again. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Praise God. Praise God. Don't let the world divide you from the love of God. There's a lot of things out there trying to divide people right now. Don't listen to that. Don't let the world divide you from the love of God. Remember, by their fruits shall you know them. And if somebody's telling you something and they don't show that fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith, if they don't show some of those aspects, then I'm going to tell you what, quit listening to them. Because they're trying to bring division and not trying to bring oneness. And I'm going to tell you, none of the politicians out there, and I don't like to talk politically that much, none of the politicians out there are the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. And they'll tell you how great they are, and they'll all tell you that. I mean, you know, But I'm going to tell you what, remember what the scripture said there about the tax collectors. They're the tax collectors. He tells you don't listen to them. Don't be like the tax collectors. Praise God. If you all stand, I'll close in a word of prayer. That's all I had to share with you today. And if you're mad at me, I know who your daddy is. But you know what? I love you. And God loves you. And I'm going to tell you what, we all need to aspire to ask him, Lord, help us be an expression of your love everywhere we go. And it's not an easy thing, because sometimes in your natural mind, it'll flare up and want to say some real negative stuff. But if you'll say, Lord, what would you have me say here? Woo, you'll find out. You might say a whole different thing than what you just was going to say. But I tell you what, until we start going within and letting that Spirit of Christ be the thing that causes us to express the love of God, creation's not going to be saved. They're not going to be changed. You know, Jesus prayed that we might be one. And when he prayed that we might be one, he also said, then the world will believe. Until the Christians stand up and become one in him, the world's not going to believe. As long as they see us wrestling back and forth, they're not going to believe. But I tell you what, it's going to take the sons of God to begin to come forth in power and authority and anointing, and going to begin to have to pull the church up close to the bosom and show them the love of God. Because a lot of times they're not showing a lot of love. And when I say that, I'm including myself in that. I'm not saying you, I'm not talking to you, because let me tell you what, anytime you share a sermon, guess where it goes to first? Right here. Right here. So I'm not telling you I'm perfect in any way, but what I'm telling you is he's perfect. His love is perfect. Let's ask him to help us be an expression of his love. And then we'll see the world start to turn around. We'll see governments start to get in the right order, because the kingdoms of our Lord have to become the kingdoms of his Lord, and that's you, and his Christ, that's you. You're the anointed ones. Praise God. The heavens must retain him until the restitution of all things, until all things begin to be restored. And I'm going to tell you what, they're out of course, because we're letting them be out of course at times. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, that name above all names, we lift and magnify you. I ask you to bless your people, and I ask you, Father, to bring this word home to me first, and let it start with me, Lord, and let it go throughout the whole world, where we begin to show that love of God, to show the fruit of the Spirit, and to just let people know how much you love them and what you already have done for them and already accomplished for them. And the world's not going to believe until we stand up as one. And you know, there was an old prophecy of an old prophet one time, and he said he saw this giant man laying across the earth, and there was all kind of debris and junk laying on top of him. And you know who he was talking about? He's talking about the church. And he said, and all of a sudden, in this vision, he began to shake himself. He began to shake himself and shake himself a little bit more. And all of the debris started to fall off. And as all of the debris started to fall off, then he stood up. And when he stood up, his glory filled the whole earth. And I tell you what, that's what it's going to have to take. It's going to have to take the sons of God standing up. And then the glory will fill the whole earth as the waters cover the sea. And Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this word. I thank you. Like I say, Lord, let it apply to me first. And let me let you control my tongue, the things that I say, the negative things, the things that I shouldn't say. And let it be an expression more of love and of praying for people even that I disagree with, Father. Because you're the only one that can change anybody anyway. We can't, a lot of times we can't change nobody. All we can do is start a fight with them, you know. But Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask you to have your way. I ask you to bless your food, your people. I ask you to bless the food as we go forth and fellowship back in the dining place back there. and just cause just a fellowship of love and communion, and help us to enter into more oneness in you, Father. You're the only one that can bring us into that one spirit. You know, there's not a bunch of spirits. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, you say there's one spirit, one faith, one baptism, one Lord and Father above us all and in us all, you know. And Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name. Give you the praise and the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. If anybody wants prayer, I'll be glad to pray with you. And if anybody swings at me on the way out the door, I know who your daddy is, like I told you.